Tappers, what's up? It's your boy, Charlie, here on a Friday night, Saturday edition of the Daily Tap. Hope you all listened to the Gambling Hour yesterday where I gave you Oregon. Hopefully you took the spread. Hopefully you took the money line. Hopefully you did not take the under because that could have easily hit if we would just would have had a slide down, but instead we had to run to the end zone for the over. You hate to hear that, but all in all, a great day on that regard. A great day for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's why I'm doing a special edition. I don't know how long this is going to go. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 at best, but we're just going to do a quick show. We are literally just going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, maybe a slight little quick rapid fire on a few other things, but that's it. We're just going to do the Bucks and maybe a little bit of Wisconsin rapid fire and get it going. I'm very excited to do this on a Saturday and giving me reason to. Want to let you know that we are brought to you by the Snowtap WI Network. As you know, three podcasts, all Wisconsin. We have the Daily Tap, which you're listening to right now. We have the Snowtap WI Gambling Hour. We also have Tapping the Keg podcast that Mitch and I do on a weekly basis. And if I know my man, Mitchy, he is very excited for what the Bucks did tonight. 38-point win against the Los Angeles Clippers. We are also brought to you by the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. And support for the Daily Tap comes from Manscaped, the best in below-the-belt grooming. Now, I assume you've already have your Christmas lists out, distributed. They are in emails. They are in text messages. You've told your significant other. You've told your mom what you want for Christmas. But why not get yourself a little bit of a gift? Treat yourself to the Perfect Package 2.0 from Manscaped. It features their Lawnmower 2.0, an electric trimmer that will not snick or nag your nick your nuts. Nagging is what your significant other does. There is not a worse feeling in the world than that. It's waterproof, so you can bring that into the shower too. The Perfect Package 2.0 comes with anti-chafing deodorant for your balls to keep them smelling fresh at the holiday season. You use deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting it on the smelliest part of your body? Great question. Perfect Package 2.0 also comes with Manscaped's boxer briefs that keep your junk smelling fresh all day long. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping when you use the code BIGHEADS. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. So like I said, a very quick show, a unconventional Saturday Daily Tap, but when the Bucks beat the third best team in the NBA 119-91, you have to talk about it. You have to at least mention. You can't just let that sort of linger. You can't just go without having a podcast, without having blogs about it. I just would not be doing my job as a blogger if we did not talk about this game. And by Monday, while it'll still be a hot conversation, we will not think of it as much, or we will be talking other things. There's a lot of other things happening this weekend, so I did not want to get the Bucks lost in the shuffle. My goodness, Milwaukee, what a performance. They came out 30-15 in the first quarter. Now, if you've listened to me before, I'm not a huge fan of NBA first quarters. I don't know if I've really talked about this in great detail on the Daily Tap. I know Mitch and I have brought it up a little bit, but my theory on first quarters is that they are relatively meaningless. And this isn't like an okay boomer take, okay? Just hear me out. I do not think most of the time, I think 75 to 80% of the time, first quarters are kind of meaningless. Like, they do not have a lot of point to. They don't have a lot of point to them. I mean, you can see a team go up 20 points in the first quarter and then the other team come back and it's like basically tied. A great example of this is when the Bucks were in Boston, their second loss of the season, where they got up early. I think they were up 18 at one point early second quarter, and then Boston had came back and they were kind of rolling
by halftime. That happens often. I mean, look at even this one. Even though that the Bucks were leading at halftime, the Clippers outscored Milwaukee by 6 points, and they made this. They were only trailing by 9 at the break, which is not insurmountable for a team like the Los Angeles Clippers. So that said, I really was impressed with what the Bucks did in the first quarter. They were hustling their ass off. They were working to every loose ball. Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton all played a major role in that first quarter, and it was really a great thing to see. The Bucks came out strong. They came out with a purpose, and they kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. And from there, Milwaukee played great. Milwaukee did a great job against Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, who combined for 30 points. That feels just kind of unreal, right? They shot in total. They were 10 of 26 from the field. Milwaukee did a great job. Zach Lowe pointed this out in his 10 Things column this week, which is a must-read for any NBA fan. But Lowe pointed out how Brooke Lopez has become this almost all-star level defender, and that he is unstoppable with his interior defense. And the combination of Brooke and Giannis has made it really difficult on teams to score inside. And that's really where the Clippers struggled. The Clippers struggled to get any easy baskets. Everything was contested. Nothing came easy for Los Angeles from the start of this game. The Bucks never let up, and good on them. They were great in terms of defending the three. That has been a bugaboo for them this year. The Clippers went a woeful 8 of 32. So again, what we've seen in the last few games against inferior opponents where the Bucks have been really good behind on the perimeter, that continued against a very good Clippers team. You love to see this type of thing from the Milwaukee Bucks. Not one Clippers player, I could say, had a good game. I guess Ivica Zubac had a good game. He had 14 and 12, but he also got dunked on by Giannis. So is that really a good game, or is that just a good stat game? The Bucks just dominated this basketball game, you guys, and it made me think that this team is special. And it's not that I didn't think this team was special already. I knew that, right? I was one of those people on the front line saying that the loss of Malcolm Brogdon really isn't going to matter for this team, that this team is going to survive without Malcolm Brogdon. And I was pretty confident in that. I thought the Bucks had built a deep roster and that they have one of the deepest rosters, if not the deepest roster in the NBA, to the point where I don't know if the Bucks need to make a trade. I had a friend of mine pass along a Kevin Love trade, and I don't want to do that right now. Why should the Bucks trade away any of their guys? They are playing so well together. And yes, you could argue they haven't had that conflict. And that was something I harped on last year, that I was worried the Bucks didn't sort of have those struggles in the regular season, and that could be an issue when the chips were down in the postseason. Kind of turned out, I don't know if I was right on that. I don't want to claim victory there, but I do think it would have helped if the Bucks had lost 3 of 5 games at some point and sort of learned from it and grew from it during the regular season. But Dante DiVincenzo was one of the standout players in this game. Yes, he was only 2 of 7 from the field, but if you watch Dante, he was attacking every ball. He dove on so many loose balls. He had 4 steals in this game. He also had 5 rebounds. The guy was just a monster when it came to the hustle board. You love to see that stuff out of the big ragu. And Chris Middleton also had an underrated great game again. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He was 7 of 9 from the field. And only played 25 minutes. Giannis only played 26 minutes. This Bucks team continues to get load management like rest because they are blowing teams out. I cannot be more impressed with this Milwaukee team. I'm almost running out of superlatives to talk through how good this team is from top to bottom. Sterling Brown, who's been battling a AC joint sprain, came into the game and he got buckets. He had 1-3, but still, he was in there and playing his ass off. Same with DJ Wilson. Pat Connaughton, I thought, had a great game with 13 points and 4 rebounds. He, again, had the spark in the first quarter where Giannis didn't really do much. And where Giannis sort of became this bowling ball was the second half. He took over that game in the second half with some big dunks, the dunk on Zubac, as I mentioned. Also, the backing down of Kawhi Leonard with a jump hook was absolutely perfect. By the end of the third quarter, the Bucks had led by 22, and then they continued to roll that ball downhill. And before you knew it, they were up by as many as 41 points. This Milwaukee team is a juggernaut. And we talked about on Tapping the Keg how the Bucks were starting to get respect from this league. Well, I think everybody is now woken up to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think there's anyone who is sleeping on the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think there's anyone who should be mentioning Malcolm Brogdon when they talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. There shouldn't be, well, I'm concerned about what they may or may not have with Malcolm Brogdon. Fuck that. It doesn't even matter. You should not have Malcolm Brogdon's name should not come out when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. I found it very interesting today. Tony Cartagena of Mad City Sports pointed this out in a blog post, how John Horst basically said to David Aldridge and David DeFore, I think on yesterday's podcast that they do, and Horst said, look, we could have brought back all three guys and we just decided not to. And I've told you guys this for a while. Nobody's listened to me. We've all had blinders on for some reason because I think it's due to Malcolm being a good guy or whatever the fuck. But the fact of the matter is Malcolm Brogdon did not want to be in Milwaukee. Malcolm Brogdon did not want to be a Milwaukee Buck. I don't know how hard that is for some people to get through their skulls, but it's fact. It is a fact that Malcolm Brogdon did not want to be here. And if you do not believe that's fact, then you are ignorant to the whole conversation that we've had about Brogdon for a long time. And that is why that he doesn't matter. He isn't somebody who we should be talking about right now. But I have to bring him up because there will still be some national guy on Monday who says, well, you know, they've looked good in the regular season, but man, I just worry in the postseason where the Brogdon production is going to come from. Fuck that. These guys are going to keep getting better. Dante DiVincenzo is continuing to develop as a very, very good sixth man, and I think there's a case to be made for him as a starter. Wes Matthews was guarding Kawhi Leonard today. We did not have a guy like Wes Matthews last year guarding Kawhi Leonard, but because Wes Matthews is a bigger body and a pretty good defender, he can get in front of him. And oh, by the way, Wes Matthews had 9 points and 7 rebounds. Kind of been a sneaky, really good player the last few games, and it's went unnoticed because of all the other guys playing well. The only guy that honestly is struggling right now is Eric Bledsoe, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he was plus 28 in his PER, even though he had 10 points and only made 4 shots. So Bledsoe's still doing other things, and he's a great defender, and the Bucks have the second best defense in the NBA. They may have moved to first. I'm not sure. The Nuggets lost tonight to the Celtics, so we'll see if the Bucks move their way to first place, but they're the second best offense. They're second best defense. And to me, they're the best team in the NBA. Now, I know some will say the Lakers. A lot will say the Lakers because, look, it's LeBron James. Los Angeles is probably the most public team in all of the NBA. Of course, people are going to say the Lakers over the Milwaukee Bucks. That's not a surprise to anyone who follows the game closely. That said, I think the Bucks are better, and we'll see. The Bucks and Lakers get set to face each other next Thursday night in a primetime showdown on TNT. And for those who are wondering, can the Bucks keep this up? Can they keep the streak going? I think they can for at least a little while. They're going to be tested. I mean, the Magic come in on Monday. They are not a slouch team. The Magic have won 4 of their last 5 games, trying to dig themselves out of a hole. And then they're on ESPN to face New Orleans. Obviously, ESPN thought this would be the first matchup between Zion and Giannis. That will not happen. But the Bucks will play the Pelicans on Wednesday night. then Memphis, then Cleveland this week. So they have a four-game slate. We'll break that down in a little detail on Monday's Daily Tap. But yeah, the Bucks kind of have a nice week, you know, four games. And then Dallas, Los Angeles, and Indiana, and Philadelphia are the next four of five. That's a difficult stretch. And I know if I'm an ABC exec, you are hoping the Bucks carry that win streak all the way to Philadelphia on Christmas afternoon, because the rating will be through the roof. And trust me, ESPN, TNT, the NBA are going to do whatever they can to make the Bucks very popular. I think the NBA, hopefully at this point, has realized that the Bucks are their Eastern Conference team, and they need to prop up the Bucks as much as possible, as they did with LeBron, as they did with others. It hasn't connected yet with the casual fans. I think part of that is due to Milwaukee doesn't have the notoriety. I think there are some who don't watch enough to understand how good Giannis is. I do think there's an element of, if you see Giannis in person, it's kind of an out-of-body experience, and that probably has to happen too. But trust me, there will be a lot more attention on the Bucks after this win and going forward. All right, really quick Wisconsin rapid fire to wrap up this show, this special edition Daily Tap. Jordan Lyles signs with Texas, 2 years, $16 million. I would not have given Jordan Lyles that kind of money. That is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sort of stunned that he is making that much money. The Badgers have a very, very outside shot at getting into the college football playoff. It would take a goddamn miracle, but with Utah losing, chaos has kind of started. All of a sudden, chaos has arrived at the door. If Baylor were to win, I think chaos becomes even more of a grand scene. I don't really know. I guess Baylor would get in, but if it was close, if it was low scoring, maybe there's an opportunity that presents itself for Wisconsin. It's highly unrealistic. There is a 0.002 chance that that would happen. And finally, the Washington Redskins say they're going to slow down the Packers' rushing attack by letting Aaron Rodgers beat them. Good luck. That's all I got to say about that. All right, we'll be back on Monday. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition. Take care. Have a good weekend. If I see you out, let's have a beer. Let's talk Bucks. Let's talk Brewers, Packers, whatever your heart desires. All right, take care. Bye.